Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Fairy Conclave. This is episode 88, which is so weird to say. That seems really high of a number. I'm your host, Alec. My pronouns are he, him, and I have a very exciting guest on the line. It's Talia Vess. How are you doing today, Talia?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. And I do have to point out that 8 is my favorite number and my lucky number. And I can't believe that I'm on episode 88. Like, that just made me so happy.
All right. Okay, that's perfect. I love that so much. Yeah, so I am super excited to have you on to talk about one of your commander decks. And I'm sure everybody who's listening already knows you, but I'll do my best to introduce you just in case somebody doesn't. And so you are an actor, you stream Magic content on Twitch, you're a cosplayer, you do TikToks, which I love. Big fan
thank
of this
you.
Personally.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I see you on YouTube. You have your own channel, but you're also often a guest on other people's channels. Yeah, and then also you're a member of She Sparks and Birds of Paradise, two very important communities in the Magic community. So that's kind of, you have a very stacked link tree. So I love it all. But yeah, that's you, yeah. And I'd love to pass it to you to introduce yourself too.
Yeah, hi everyone. I pretty much. Oh, you know, there was one thing that we left out in the intro. Ooh. You pretty much nailed everything, except I also stream on Whatnot, which is a really fun platform. And I sell Magic cards over there as well. So like that kind of has snowballed into me making my own LGS and like selling cards on TCG Player. And like, because I have such a huge collection and they're my babies and I really don't like to get rid of stuff, but I am overwhelmed with product. So it's like kind of nice to auction it off and sell stuff and help kind of fund this career that I've chosen for myself, which is a content creator. And it's not easy. So that really helps out a whole lot. And then going to events as myself as a guest, and then with She Sparks has been really awesome as well. Being at events is like my most favorite thing to do because you just get to hang out with people and play Magic and meet people IRL. So it's been really great. But you pretty much like nailed everything else that that I do. So there's not much else to say.
I love it. I mean, that's a lot. And I'm glad you shouted out Whatnot. I feel like they are pretty new, at least to kind of like the Magic community, and I see them sponsoring some like Magic creators, which we love to see. Could you explain a little bit about how Whatnot works exactly?
Yeah, so Whatnot is essentially, think of it like eBay mixed with Twitch. So you're live streaming auctions. And you can do it in many different ways. Like you can just run giveaways if you want. I saw the professor was on there yesterday and he was auctioning off playmats because he has like 50 extra playmats just sitting around. So he was auctioning those off. You can auction them off for charity, things like that. Like you can honestly do so much with it, or you can even just go on there and hang out. You don't have to auction anything off, but it is really nice to just kind of still talk about Magic, connect with the Magic community, but also make a little bit of income on the side as well. Cause like Twitch is, it's pretty hard. It's pretty hard to like make any income on Twitch. And of course they keep like half your money as well. So it's like, it's just nice to have something like another option for live streaming. So
yeah.
It's been really cool. And you know, not only that, like they have given many of us Magic content creators sponsored opportunities to do like sponsored posts and paid posts. So that really helps out a ton to keeping us moving.
Yeah, no, that's really important. Sweet. Yeah, I love the concept and I'm glad it's becoming more popular and it's working out. I think, were you doing a stream for Whatnot at the Magic Summit? Did I see you doing that there?
Yeah.
So cool.
Yes. Yeah, what I love about it is literally like it's very similar to TikTok live streaming. Like you could just do it anywhere. And I mean, you can stream on Twitch anywhere as well, but like, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. It's just great to be on the go and be at conventions or traveling and also go live.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's really important. Quick note to anyone out there who watches people on Twitch streaming like all day long, like I do while I'm working from home or just whenever, like for real, subscribe. That like $5 or $6 or however much is really important to them. And if they're entertaining you, then you should be supporting them with your money because it's a lot of work.
I appreciate you saying that. I am like the complete opposite when it comes to support on Twitch. I'm like, don't support Amazon and Twitch and Jeff Bezos and like,
that's fair.
Instead, you know, go support me on Patreon. Don't have a Patreon, but like I always direct people to somewhere else. Show your support, whether it's like Instagram sub, fan house subs, whatever. Ko-fi I think is another one, but like if somebody else, if they have another platform where you can support them by gifting $5 for a sub, do it where they actually keep the money.
Yes. Yeah. No, that's a great note too.
But Twitch subs are appreciated as well. So yeah, not like dogging on it too hard.
No, it's just, for sure.
You know, half, that's a lot. Keeping half, and the creators do a lot of work.
So much work. Oh my God. Yeah. And I feel like they increase the amounts that Twitch keeps just a little bit every once in a while. So, yeah, no, great, great shout out. Cool. And so today I've got you on to talk about one of your commander decks, which is one of my favorite things to do. I love talking to somebody about one of their favorite decks because you get so much like insight into a person's personality in the ways that they come out in a game of Commander. And
wow, I should have brought my Infect deck to the table.
Ooh, so we would know how evil you are.
I actually don't play it anymore because it gets so much hate. Right when I pull it out, it's like, nope, you're dead.
Yeah, I feel you. I built a very, very weak Infect deck last year.
It's hard.
It was a mono red deck.
Pull off 10 points of damage to everyone.
Right. And people just get so scared, even though I was like, I'm only playing these little like 1/1s and 2/2s with Infect.
Exactly.
Like my chances of killing you are so low. But they would use like premium removal on my like my
little
plague mirror or whatever. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's funny.
Who was the commander for that one?
It was Subira, which is it's the like mono red commander that makes your, I think it's creatures of power 2 or less can't be blocked, and then it has like a card draw thing.
Ooh, okay, so, that's pretty cool.
The idea was the idea was there are like 10 creatures in mono red, mostly colorless with Infect that have power 2 or less. So the idea is you make them unblockable and then kill people with commander and you give them like double strike or something, which is a cool concept, but in practice it just wasn't super fun because people were terrified of it more than they needed to be.
It sounds really scary actually.
Yeah.
So I get it.
I get it too. Yeah, there were a few times where I'd play that red enchantment that like triples your damage output.
Yes. Fiery Emancipation.
Yes, thank you. That's the one. I would play that and then kill one person with Infect and then die to everyone else immediately.
Exactly.
Yep.
That's like the problem with mill as well. Like I have a mill deck, and unless you're milling everyone for every card at one given moment, it's like once you start to mill one person, it's just like everybody's coming after you.
It's true. I think decks like that, I love to build and play as like a, I don't know, like a learning experience. But then, after playing a few times, I definitely took it apart. But that's okay.
Mm-hmm. It happens.
Before I forget and before we get too into it, let's do our community spotlight for the episode, which is where we take a few minutes to shout out somebody in the community, or in this case, a group in the community.
I have so many people to shout out.
So. I love it. Yeah, so take it away. I'll give it to you, Talia, to give the shout out.
I am gonna shout out all of the groups out there with similar goals to increase our visibility and awareness for women in the game. We have Birds of Paradise, Bobby Christine, Ron, Anna, Katie, Miss Eldritch, Women of Gaming. They are doing similar things. And we have She Sparks, Anna Margaret, Zbex, Zabricus, Air Bubbles, just, you know, all the women and non-binary people out there that are just spreading positivity and making this space a welcoming space and a safe and friendly space for people to play the game that we all love and just want to share. We just want to share with the world. So thank y'all.
Yes. Yeah. 100% agree. These kind of like groups within the Magic community are so important. It helps so much, especially at events when you go in, and it can be very overwhelming when you go to Magic events. But then,
for sure,
seeing the She Sparks booth, immediately I was like, okay, cool. There's some people here who can, bring like a nice, comforting and safe space to events. Aww. If you need to. Yeah, it's super important and very appreciated. So yeah, thank you. And thanks to everybody involved in those groups who you just shouted out. I love to see it, and I'm glad that you're doing it.
Thank you.
Definitely. Yeah. Big shout out there for sure. Happy to talk about those groups anytime. But let's get into the interview. I am excited to talk about this commander today. So my first question for you, Talia, is who is your commander and what inspired you to build this deck in the first place?
My commander is Ziatora the Incinerator, and I wanted to build this deck because I just wanted to use treasure-making cards. I wanted, you know, I had played before, like, a Selesnya deck, and my favorite card in the deck was Smothering Tithe, and I was like, gosh, nice. I just love these treasure tokens so much, and I just really wanted to make something that was focused around treasure. So really, like, can I get a win with Revel in Riches? Can I make that happen? And I did, finally. I finally pulled that off. But I just wanted to, like, make something fun, and it kind of has like the sacrifice thing going on, because what Ziatora does is at the beginning of your end step, you can sacrifice another creature. And when you do, Ziatora deals damage equal to that creature's power to any target. So you can even target people's face, which is great. And then you make 3 treasure tokens on top of that. And so I have cards in there that are just really synergistic with, hey, when you make a treasure token, you're also going to make a food, and you're also going to make a clue. And you're going to make double of those. And then, So it's a lot of fun.
I love it. Yeah.
Doing a lot of things.
Definitely. Yeah. I have a Kalane deck, which is a card I see in this deck. And I love it. I think actually a lot of the time that Kalane is a black-red deck. And a lot of new treasure cards, or like recent-ish treasure cards, are green, and green's just like really good because it can double your treasures and do lots of pretty spicy stuff. So yeah, I'm already a big fan of this deck being those colors plus green. Also, I love that Ziatora is a demon dragon. That's just cool. Like,
yes. A lot of people don't realize that it is in fact a dragon as well as a demon.
Yes.
Very, very strong, very powerful.
Yeah, seriously. And yeah, the fact that you can cast it for 6, but then you can probably, like, the turn you cast it, you can likely get those 3 treasures back. So it kind of only costs 3 the first time is...
Exactly.
Wow, that's scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it.
You do make the treasures at your instep, so it is a little tricky. But still, like,
that's fair.
You'll have mana for next time.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. So that, I guess that means, I mean, if you're playing it when you have 6 mana, then the next turn you have 9 mana to do stuff. Oh my god.
Exactly.
Okay. That's pretty wild. I love it. Yeah, so what kind of like got you interested in this deck? Was it the treasures theme? And what got you interested in building it?
Yeah, so I opened an Academy Manufacturer and like, wow, this card is so cool. And that kind of was the start of like the build around. Like, I'm going to build around this and just use a lot of like lower cost cards that will trigger making treasures and then other cards triggering stuff when you make artifacts. So
yeah.
Or when things leave the battlefield. So it's just like, this is honestly, I think, one of my most, I feel like it's one of my most synergistic decks, just because like every card is just really doing something perfectly for the deck. Well, I say that except for Atali. Okay, Atali Primal Storm is not really doing anything, but I just wanted to play it. Okay.
Understandable. Yeah,
I'm thinking about taking it out, but like, I mean, it never lives. It never lives to see an attack phase. But for the most part, every card is like kind of a low cost, you know, like Gilded Goose, like dorky stuff like Galagreeters and the Glimmer Bairn. Like, all this stuff is just so small, but like also so powerful with the deck. And I mean, honestly, I know we haven't got to the MVP question, but I'm going to jump to it because I just wanted to point out that the 2 mana common Reckless Fireweaver has won me so many games because it's just little dorky 1/3 and nobody really pays attention to it. And it's just a common. But whenever an artifact enters the battlefield under your control, it deals 1 damage to each opponent, which I love, dealing damage to everyone at the table at the same time. So yeah, so like that in combination with, you know, if you have your Doubling Season, your Primal Vigor, and your Academy Manufacturer, and you have all this stuff triggering and stacking, like, yeah, I mean, it's very dangerous. So that Reckless Fireweaver,
incredible,
it's just amazing. It's just so good.
That's a card that I, every time I see it played, I get a little more scared of it. And at this point, it's like one of the scariest cards. Once somebody plays it, I know it's about to go down. And yeah, along the same lines, I really like the like sacrifice mixed with treasure theme going on. Like, any deck that can play Marionette Master, which is a little kind of similar to that, I'm a huge fan.
Oh, it's so good. That card also gets killed pretty immediately, but because it does a similar effect, but like, you know, I guess it has the gold symbol and it's like more rare and it's more scary. It dies way quicker than the Fireweaver would. But it essentially does something very similar. When an artifact you control is put into the graveyard, then target opponent loses life equal to Marionette's Master's power, which usually is around 4 damage after you put the counters on it. So at least 4 damage is coming. But it's just to a target opponent. I think that the Fireweaver is better. I think the Fireweaver is way better. And it costs way less. It's 2 mana versus 6.
I'd agree with you there. I think, if Marionette Master, I have won a few games with it, because once you get those treasures going, it really goes. But
it is a finisher, for sure.
Definitely the each player just, it's so good. Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed. And shout out to Itali. I feel like that's just such a commander card that
it's just a pet card.
It just works.
My pet card.
It's fun too, like making everyone reveal the top card and then you get to steal them. That's just like, it's fun. I like it.
I will say, like, that is a weakness that my deck has, is like card draw. So I kind of put a Tali in there as like, oh, I can kind of draw my opponent's deck and then play stuff off of their deck. So yeah, I'm working on that. I need a little bit more card draw in here, but
that's fair. Yeah, I think Itali like totally counts as card advantage.
I
always count it. If I'm stealing my opponent's cards, it's like more cards, right? It doesn't matter where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I love it. So since you first built this deck, have you made any kind of like notable changes or anything since then that you'd like to talk about?
I literally just put in the Riveteer's Ascendancy last night and I took out my Hellkite Tyrant. Hellkite Tyrant is kind of like an Itali card for me. Like, you know, it's a dragon, and whenever, I can't remember exactly, but is it whenever it deals damage, you take their artifacts? It just seemed like really good in a commander game, right? Like, everybody plays artifacts. This seems fun. But I wanted to put something in there that costs less and was more synergistic with my deck. So I actually switched that out for the Riveteer's Ascendancy. And that one is only 3 mana and is an enchantment. Whenever you sacrifice a creature, you can return a target creature card with lesser mana from your graveyard to the battlefield tapped. And I just really like, I felt like, okay, I'm sacking things with Ziatora, but I don't have a lot of recursion, so I thought that that was a good add. I actually haven't played it out yet, but that is one of the newer cards that I've added. And I'm trying to think, there was something else. The Shatter Gang Brothers. The Shatter Gang Brothers is a new add. I'm kind of trying it out, but I really like the versatility. It's a 4-mana 3/3, but you can pay 3 to either sacrifice a creature and each other player sacks a creature, or you can sack an artifact, which I can get rid of a food. That's fine. I don't care. And then they have to sacrifice an artifact, which is most likely a really good one, like a soul ring or something. And then you can also sack an enchantment and they sack an enchantment. So I like the like versatility of this card. I haven't actually got to play it very often and like see it work, but I can't remember exactly what I took out for that, but I think it was just, the one drop, whenever it enters the battlefield, you make a treasure. Whenever it dies, you make a treasure. I can't remember the name. It's like a little, a red creature. I took that out in place of that. So,
gotcha. Yeah, I love to see.
It has Encore.
Yes. I have it in my brain because it's also.
Yeah,
my,
I can't remember the name,
deck,
but
I'm not sure.
Yeah, it just like wasn't doing enough. Like every time I drew the card, I was like, meh.
Yeah, and
so I wanted to draw something that I was more excited about.
Totally, yeah, makes sense. Yeah, I've always been a fan of Shatter Gang Brothers. It's such a like, it's like an old timey commander card, I guess, because it's I want it from one of the early like commander precons. So, and yes. I like the art for it. There's something very suspicious going on there. lots of destruction, but it seems
perfect.
Yeah,
it felt very on theme.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and I also like the Riveteer's Ascendancy. I mean, it's also very like thematic with Ziatora being from New Capenna, and makes sense if your commander is already a 6-mana dragon. Hard to kind of like compete with other like 6 or 7 mana, however much Hellkite Tyrant is, dragons doing doing stuff. So
I just found that the Hellkite was always kind of a dead card in my hand, and I'm like, wait, Hellkite is a dead card in my hand, but I would rather just have like a Strike It Rich or like something, you know, that I can, something that is cheaper and actually like works synergistically with doing something like making a treasure or making a food or whatever.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah, it's hard to see when you're like putting a deck together. It's hard to imagine Hellkite Tyrant not being awesome all the time, but I get it.
I was surprised. I do of course have Korvold in the deck because it's just really good, so I can draw cards off of Korvold, but you know, a lot of people ask me, like, why don't you just use Korvold as the commander? And, you know, I don't want to. I like Ziatora. But if you wanted to try out this deck, that is like an interchangeable commander that you could use. But I just like Ziatora better. I like making all the treasure tokens.
Yes.
That's the whole point.
I'm glad.
Korvold works with Ziatora, though.
Yeah.
In a good way. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, I'm glad you shouted that out because it's been a while. It's definitely been quite a few episodes since then. But for a while, I was I like to go on like at least one rant per episode about something. And for a while, it was that people should stop playing Korvold as their commander.
Yeah. Yeah. So Joey from EDH Rec says the same thing.
Yes. Yep.
And it is a very common. Yeah. Like, I hear that a lot. And you know what? As many times as I've played this deck, I think I've actually got to cast Korvold maybe twice. Like, I just never draw it. I don't know why.
it's cursed. It's just,
yeah, exactly. Literally the cursed king. But yeah, I feel that. I will say, when those few times I did play Korvold, it's like immediate target. It just gets killed. So
yeah,
you know, there's a lot of removal out there and counter magic, and so I don't know. I play whatever you want to play.
Yes.
And I want to play with Korvold, so.
For sure. No, yeah, I do think Korvold is great in the deck, and for sure, like, works really well in this deck, I bet. Yeah, it's when you can get Korvold out over and over again as your commander, and that's where I get a little salt. But
Yes. I would be a little salty about that, too. For sure.
I've never had a good experience there.
It's not fun.
But, yeah, I think I haven't really seen a Korvold deck as the commander in like a year-ish.
Yeah.
I think people change to other more interesting stuff. But yeah, I do love to see it in the deck, honestly. It seems like if you have a little
engine. It deserves
engine,
a place.
Yeah,
yes.
And then if you get Korvold out, then you're going. You're drawing cards. Yeah,
it's honestly
awesome.
Like, I don't have a ton of ways to draw cards, so it's mostly in there for that.
Cool. Yeah,
like,
no,
I'm not attack. This is not a very combat heavy deck. It's more of just like, is artifacts entering and leaving.
Yeah, which is fun. Yeah, I like that. I mean, you do have a few pretty big dragons, so I'm sure that's a good backup plan. But
the big dragons that I have, which I don't have the new one yet. The one from AFR.
Is it the really expensive one? Ancient Red Dragon?
Copper. Yeah. So ideally, like, that should be in here, but I don't own one yet. So
yep.
I think the biggest dragon I probably do have is gonna be Old Gnawbone. But I mean,
yep. Yeah.
Old Gnawbone, whenever a creature deals combat damage to player, create that many treasure tokens. I mean, it had to be in here. It had to.
Yeah. Yeah. I
think that's the biggest dragon. And that's kind of it. I mean, Goldspan Dragon is only five, and it has to attack to make treasures, but I just want to make treasures. So it's not really in there to like get combat damage through. Yeah.
And I will say Revel in Riches is one of my favorite cards ever, and that's always
it's
in
fun.
This deck, it's probably pretty easy to get 10 treasures.
yes, I don't play with any tutors at all, so if you want to take it up a notch and tutor for Revel, that would make way more sense. Like, I'm just relying on drawing it, which is really difficult, but I didn't want this to be like a super powerful deck, because I play this with my family, and I play this with like kids and stuff. I just wanted to make it like a little bit more fun and like kind of mid-range. But if you want to take it up a notch, definitely add some tutors. That way you can just like go tutor for the Revel and win the game. But yeah.
I'm glad that you said that. I think it's really cool to see that you have kind of like a power level-ish, I guess is the right term, for this deck that you want to stay at. And yeah. And I'm also a fan of having like a lot of variability. So I tend to not run tutors unless it's for something silly or specific for the deck. But
yeah,
I like that too. It kind of like see what the cards give to you. Each game is more fun, I think, a lot of the time.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, you know what? There is one new card that I just added last night.
Ooh.
And I haven't play tested it yet, but it seems really good. And I didn't even know that I had it. So I was very happy when I was digging through my cards and I found it. It's called the Reaver Cleaver.
Oh, and yes.
So it's an equipment artifact for 3 mana. The equip cost is 3. So, I mean, it's a little expensive, but
yeah,
it gets +1. Your creature gets +1/+1 and has trample. And whenever it deals combat damage to player, create that many treasure tokens. So it's like old Gnawbone on an enchantment or on a equipment. So
yeah.
Yeah.
That's absurd.
I just added it, but I haven't like play tested it yet. I'm excited about it though.
Yeah.
Seems very fitting for the deck.
Definitely, especially if you just throw it on your commander who's already a 6/6 flyer. Making 7 treasures and then another
great
3 from its ability.
Yeah.
I feel like the thing I always compare it to for equipment, if it's like 3 to cast through to equip, is the, I always call it the Elephant Hammer, but that's not actually what it's called. The Loxodon Warhammer. Which is much better than that. So
yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think this card's great. I feel like Reaver Cleaver could probably be played in decks that don't even care about treasures like this one does and still be really, really good.
Yes. Absolutely. I think we're gonna be seeing a lot more of that card in Commander decks.
Definitely.
For sure.
Yeah, I'm also seeing right next to it, you've got Panharmonicon in this deck, which I see that, I'm like, sign me up.
I love Panharmonicon. Yeah, so we get double those triggers. So,
Dockside Extortionist needed some help, clearly. So mm-hmm. doubling it, yeah, seems pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Absolutely.
We've talked like a little bit here and there about this kind of thing, but just if you wanted to add some more, what is it about this deck that you just enjoy playing the most?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so this is kind of an oddball card, but I feel like it's so underrated and more people should play it. And that is Glimpse of Tomorrow.
Ooh.
So Glimpse of Tomorrow, what you do is you end up suspending it for 2 mana and it takes 3 turns. But then you shuffle all permanents into your library and reveal that many cards from the top of your library and then put all non-aura permanents revealed this way onto the battlefield. So all of those 20 foods and 20 treasures and 20... clues and all your creatures and all your lands, everything gets shuffled back. So ideally you want to play it when you can get a lot of token generation happening, because you want to like shuffle the tokens back in more so than like, of course, creatures that you want out on the battlefield. So it's really cool.
That's awesome.
So yeah. You shuffle in like 30 tokens that you don't care about and then you get 30 cards for free onto the battlefield. It's great. And then all those things are triggering.
Yeah. Wow.
All those ETBs. So if you have Galagreeders, if you have, you know, Kalane enters the battlefield, any of your ETB triggers are going to stack there. It's great.
That's absurd. I've seen this card, but I've never thought about how if you have 1 million tokens out that it like they disappear, but they count as permanents. So then you get to take that many like actual permanents out. And I feel like trading like 20 treasure tokens for just like 20 cards off the top straight into play is seems really good and also fun because nobody knows what you're gonna get exactly. So
it is, it's so fun. Yeah,
okay. Yeah, I can definitely see why that would be something you like the most about this deck. That is really cool.
Yeah, it's like my favorite thing.
I love that. Ooh, okay. Uh-huh. Now I'm thinking of like decks I could try to play Glimpse of Tomorrow in. That's really cool.
Yes. I just noticed a card that I really want to take out, actually, and ooh, I forgot to take it out. The Storm Kiln Artist. It's 4 ooh mana. It gets +1 for each artifact you control. And whenever you cast or copy an instant or sorcery spell, create a treasure token. I just like don't love this card, but it's still hanging out in the deck. I guess it will be good if like it does have +1 for each artifact, and then you can sack it to Ziatora. But like, I've never really pulled that off. But yeah, that could be like a lot of kind of fling damage to someone's face. So I don't know. I'll keep it in there a little bit longer and see. But yeah, I think if I was to make a cut looking at the deck now, that would be like the first one to go, maybe in place of the Copper Dragon once I get it.
Ooh, yeah, that makes sense.
That'd be a good switch. But similarly, like you can do that with the Glimmer Baron as well. So it gets +2/+2. So you could sack like, you know, gosh, whatever, 10, you know, foods or treasures, and then essentially like fling the Glimmer Baron at someone with Ziatora. So
yeah,
so there's other ways.
Does it a little bit better, I think. Yeah, I also took Storm Kiln Artist out of my Kalain Treasures deck at some point, just because.
Oh, you did. Yeah,
and the main thing was I just realized like that deck was very creature heavy, and like this one kind of is too, for because you want creatures for your commander. But I only had like less than 13 or 12 instants or sorceries, so it didn't do that too much.
That's how I feel. I don't have a lot of instants and sorceries, so I'm not even really using that second ability, but yeah, we'll see.
I could see though, if you're kind of going off, then it having huge power for Ziatora's ability is something that could happen. But maybe that's a little tougher than it might seem.
But one of the best cards and most scariest cards in the deck is actually Chatterfang.
Oh my god.
Whenever you're making those tokens, foods and clues and treasures, you're also making squirrels, which then you could sacrifice those squirrels and just kill anything as long as you have enough squirrels. But yeah, that's
so good.
It's a really good card. Yeah, I love that card.
Yeah, I could see some pretty wild scenarios where you have like Chatterfang out, and I see you've also got Doubling Season in this deck, and and like Primal Vigor and stuff like that. So yeah, making treasures, making squirrels, double it all up, Academy Manufacturer. Ooh, yeah, that's some heavy hitters going on in here. Bootlegger Stash. Okay, yeah, I'm just like,
yes.
I want to see it. I want to see this happen.
Yeah, bootleggers is fun. It is kind of, it's hard because it is 6 mana, and then you kind of have to, you either tap your lands for treasures or you tap them for lands. You kind of have to like make the decision. It's okay like kind of later once you built up your board state and you just need some token generation, it's good. But like sometimes you don't want to draw that card too early. It's like, oof, it's kind of a dead card until mid to late game. Yeah, but it's fun.
I could see it. Yeah, I know this one was a bit controversial when it first came out. So yeah, it does seem like it would be a little slow and also kind of hard to play around sometimes, depending on what you need your lands for. So
yeah,
makes sense. And then yeah, if you compare it to something like Old Gnawbone that comes out and immediately is just like cranking out treasures for doing stuff you're already doing, a little bit different there.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to ask you about Vraska Relic Seeker, which is a favorite card of mine. It's Pirate Vraska, and yeah, is there a story behind this card? Is it a favorite of yours too?
It's a favorite card. Yeah.
Yes.
It's just a favorite card. And I mean, the -3 ability, destroying an artifact, creature, or enchantment, and then making a treasure token, you know, like it's on theme. I make a treasure. The 2/2 pirates are something I can sack to Ziatora. So, yeah, it's, I think it's just, I know it's a more expensive card to play, but whenever I draw it, I'm always excited to draw it. And I'm always excited to play it and destroy something and then, you know, make a treasure with it. Or if I need creatures, I love this card.
Me too. Yeah. It's one of those cards that for years I've just had one that I've wanted to play and never really quite got it to work. But this deck seems perfect. Like, this deck seems like a great place for it.
I don't play like Planeswalkers too often in my commander decks, but this one just felt like it was on theme and it really like assisted the deck in a good way. So, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I love this card. I don't know how familiar you are with the lore of Ixalan, but Vraska and Jace had this like wonderful like love affair on Ixalan when they were pirates.
I did hear about that.
And it's for me, it's like the peak of quality Magic like lore content.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think about it a lot.
Love stories.
Agreed. Yeah, huge fan of that era. So yeah, Vraska Relic Seeker, and then also the Jace, shirtless Jace from that set also. Two of my favorites.
Nice.
We've talked a little bit about like the goals of this deck and the weaknesses, actually a lot. Is there anything else you want to kind of like bring up when it comes to goals of this deck or things that happen when you're playing it?
I did want to point out that the deck like doesn't have a lot of protection for its commander. I really only have like about one card that protects my commander, and that's the Master Chef. So like nice. You can sack a food and then give a creature indestructible. So I think like I probably will look for maybe some more. Oh, I think I do have a protection spell, Heroic Intervention as well, which like is a must. It's a must in any green deck. So, yeah, those are like my only two. So I would say like definitely if you are building this, maybe look for a little bit more protection for your commander, maybe even some boots. I just realized I don't even play boots, but I don't know. That is tricky. Well, you wouldn't want to play the Shroud boots. No, I guess it doesn't matter. You could play either boots, but yeah, I just wanted to point that out. Some protection would be nice. Most people don't target Ziatora, though, interestingly enough. Like,
oh, that is interesting.
I don't know why. Yeah.
Yeah,
I guess it doesn't seem that scary, but
I guess it depends on what else you've got going on, but
yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I'd be pretty scared, I think, but yeah, that's interesting. It's cool to get that context of that you haven't needed boots because people tend to target other stuff.
Yeah.
And does that kind of go back to your target audience for this deck being like family members and things like that, trying not to make it too unstoppable?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly why I didn't put them in there originally. But if, yeah, it, depending on how far you want to take the deck, then I would say definitely putting in some boots or some protection would make a lot of sense. Ooh, yeah. So I see a card that we haven't talked about yet, and that is one that I just added fairly recently, and I'm going to mess up this name, but it's Baba Lasaga.
Oh, yes.
And like, I don't know if it's going to work, but it seems really good because I was having trouble with like playing all my cards out and then not having any cards, like any card draw. And so this made it into the deck recently because you can sacrifice up to 3 permanent. But if there are 3 different types, then so a food, treasure, whatever. As long as there's 3 different types and each opponent loses 3 life, you gain 3 life and you draw 3 cards.
Whoa.
Which is like the drawing 3 cards is really good.
Yeah.
But I have not played it to try it out. It seems a little difficult to pull off unless you have like the Academy manufacturer. But
yeah, I mean,
you really, because like you don't want to be sacrificing your creatures to that, ideally. Like, yeah.
Yeah, makes sense. And yeah, speaking of Joey from EDH Rec, this is like his favorite card ever.
Yeah, I actually, he's told me that before.
Yeah, and he had a really cool video about Baba Lasaga and yeah, how there are more cards than you'd expect that you can sacrifice to it to get like the full effect. And I see some of them in here, like Gilded Goose. You can sacrifice it and the food token it creates to get two.
That's true. Boom.
Which is kind of like squirrels. Cool little things. Yeah, squirrels. And then you can always do like a land. I know he talks about like artifact lands counting as two types. But yeah, that's, I think that seems like a cool one to try out in this.
Is that right? If I use an artifact land, that counts as two types?
Yes, exactly.
For Baba?
So you can sacrifice like an artifact land and then an enchantment or something to get all three.
Well, you know what? I'm taking out one of these basics and putting an artifact land.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Thank you for the tip.
Oh, yeah. Anytime. No, I. That's great. All credit to Joey. Yeah, it was a really cool video about how he changed his Marin deck into a Baba Lasaga deck and found a bunch of cool little like things like that.
Deck. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He played it at the summit quite a bit and yeah, yes. Really cool. And I could see it happening here, like doing cool stuff in this deck as well. Cause you've already got lots of things that care about sacrificing things and making tokens, mm-hmm. which are like mm-hmm. the two requirements. So
yeah,
I like it.
That's great.
I also like to have a few spots in the deck for cards that just you don't know if they'll work, but you can like try it out and see if you draw them a few times, and then if they don't, you can just
exactly. I'm kind of in that phase. Like I'm editing and change. I guess I'm in that phase all the time with all my decks. So
yeah.
Yep. You know, I just realized I do have the Orpheomancer, which makes snakes every upkeep, so I can sack a snake.
Totally, too. Yeah.
So like there's some things to do. There's some things to do. Oh, and then Old Roostin, he makes insect creature tokens. And so, like, there's... I think Baba will be a good add, especially once I add in a couple of those artifact lands. I'll feel much better about it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's an easy way. Because then if you're drawing three cards, you'll probably get another land so you can replace it with. Yeah, it seems really cool.
I'm excited to play this again and try it out.
That always happens. I'm like, I want to build the deck now. I want to play against it. Yeah, yep. I love it. cool. Do you have... Okay, so we have talked about a few pet cards. Do you have any other pet cards in this deck that you'd like to shout out?
Okay, so pet card, I mean, besides Atali, because that's just in there because it's like,
yes,
it's just fun. A card that I really like is Journey to Eternity, which is, you enchant a creature, so it's a 3-mana enchantment, and then whenever it dies, you return it to the battlefield transformed, which is really easy to do because you can just sacrifice it to like so many things. And then whenever it transforms, it's like a recursion land on the backside. So actually, let me figure out how to flip it so I can read it exactly.
Oh, yeah, they changed it a little.
Do you know
it's
how?
Like, yeah, there's a little like purple circle under the number of cards, or there should be like in the top right-ish. Yeah, they updated that recently.
Oh, here we go. I see it. Yeah, so it basically transforms into a land, and then you can return creatures from graveyard to the battlefield, which, like,
so cool.
I don't have a lot of in the deck, so besides the Ascendancy that I just added. So, like, it's really good because I am having to sacrifice stuff, so it's just nice to have that flexibility to, like, maybe bring stuff back if I need to. Yeah, and I can also bring back, like, my big stuff when people kill it. Like Old Gnawbone. Like, yeah. Just gives me like more versatility.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. I think.
Balaged too. I do have Balaged.
Oh, nice. Like, yeah.
It's, you know, that's return it to your hand. It takes a little while. You gotta, you know. journey is 5 mana and bring it to the battlefield. So I like that.
I like it. And you won't have any shortage of mana in this deck with the treasures. So
yeah, ideally. Yeah.
And makes sense. I think decks like this, even though you're kind of hoping to be sacrificing creature tokens, it's always good to have cards like this because you might end up needing to sacrifice your actual creatures sometimes, or people just kill them, which they would if it's old Gnawbone. So yeah, I like it. That's cool.
There's a couple other like pet cards that, I mean, are just like absolute must plays in a deck like this, and that's the Tireless cards, because I just love Landfall. I have like a whole other AC Landfall deck that I love, and it, like, I mean, land entering the battlefield, you investigate, or land entering the battlefield, you make a treasure token. Yes, please. Love it.
Incredible.
So Tireless Provisioner, Tireless Tracker, definitely in here as well. Oh, you know, I'm like talking about every single card here, but Woodland Champion is such a good card. It's 2/2. And whenever one or more tokens ETB under your control, put that many 1/1 counters on Woodland Champion. So again, it's something that gets like really big, and then you can sacrifice it to Ziatora and just like fling somebody or fling a creature. And then, it gets big really quickly. So.
Okay, that's really cool. Yeah, I love how that's kind of a card I feel like I've never seen before in Commander, but it seems incredible in this deck. And
it works really well, especially if it's like in an early opening hand, getting it out. And again, like, people don't really care about it too often. It's a little dorky, but like, it goes off.
Yeah. It's fun. Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, because usually you would want some like evasion for a creature like this that gets it, makes itself really big. But in this case, your commander just flings it.
We're stacking it. So, yeah.
That's so
exactly.
Cool. I love it. Yeah, I'm a big fan of this deck. I really, it kind of like, it takes the treasures, but adds a little like a nice twist on it so that it's not just making treasures. It's also doing the like sacrifice thing, and also doing a couple other things that are
so you remember, like, in the beginning of our conversation I was like telling you, oh yeah, I took out this little one drop that like when it died it made it a treasure. It's still in here.
Oh,
I thought I took it out. It's Impulsive Pilfer.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's still in there. I wanted to cut it, but I just haven't made time to like find a replacement for it. But yeah, whenever it dies, you make a treasure token. But it does have Encore, which is actually pretty decent against a 4-player pod, because it will die from the Encore trigger. So it's like you make a bunch of more treasures. So it took three. I've like wanted to get rid of it, but I haven't yet. So. Just some clarification there. It's still living in there.
Makes sense. Yeah, must have been another. There are a ton of like little 1-mana creatures that do like make a treasure or something.
Yes.
Yeah. I like, and also the Encore, like you can sacrifice those tokens to other stuff before they sacrifice themselves, which is kind of cool. Maybe there's something there.
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. And we already talked about the MVP of the deck, which it makes a lot of sense. I just like the way this deck
works. Not Dockside, can you believe it? Like it's not Gnawbone, it's not even Korvold. It's this little tiny thing, the Reckless robot. Fireweaver. MVP.
I like, and that's what I was exactly what I was thinking is, I love that this deck is able to like build kind of like a synergy based engine with a bunch of cards like that, and doesn't rely on Dockside as much, and other things. Yeah, it's really cool that it's like putting this engine together, which I love that. That's just cool to see. So, speaking of things that are cool to see from this deck, what has been your favorite in-game moment that you've had while playing it?
Oh my gosh, I play this deck so much. So last night I stayed up until 4 a.m. playing Commander. It was Family the Gathering's birthday, the dad. And so we were playing Commander all night. It was so much fun. And I was playing with the kids and I was playing my Super Friends deck, which I don't play very often. It's a Brea Super Friends. It's like really weird. But I got to ultimate... oh my God, why am I blanking on the name of the Planeswalker? But I'll think of it in a second. But essentially, like, I was literally saying, like, I've never ultimated... Is that the right word? Ultimate?
I guess so.
Ultimated? I've never pulled this off because you had to get it up to like 12 or 14 or something. And I was like, I've never pulled this off. And then, of course, that game I was able to. It was Nicobolas. So I exiled poor Bo, the little boy. I exiled his entire... Okay, it says exile all but the bottom card of target player's library. So I left him with one card and it was amazing.
That's so good.
Yeah, so speaking of ultimating planeswalkers, it's rare. It's like a really rare for it to actually happen.
Yeah.
In Vraska, it doesn't happen very often. I think it's maybe happened once or twice. Like, it's very rare, but it's still really cool when you can make someone's life total become one, and then you can just like mayhem devil them or like sack a treasure and just deal damage on top of it. So yeah, when it happens, it is awesome, but it is hard to pull off.
Definitely. That's why Vraska is my favorite like character, because all of her planeswalker cards have something that just like they'll bring like one person like an inch from death and then leave them there, and you're like, good luck, you're
on
one
the
life
edge.
Now.
Yeah.
That's so
fun. I will say, if when Atali lives, I've had some really cool cast off of Atali.
Mm.
And so that's like just shutting people's decks down because I take like their best creature or something. It's always fun.
Yeah. That's why I love to see Atali so much.
It's so random too.
It's random.
So when it works out, it's like very exciting.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes, I don't know, it's just so cool to see when you can grab something hilarious and you're like, yep, okay, your Elishnorn is now on my side of the battlefield.
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh.
I'm always a fan. I think you should keep it in here, even if it's doesn't do much else for the deck. I'm a fan.
Yes, the storm rages on.
Exactly. Okay, so we've reached our final question, which is, what advice would you give to people out there if they're interested in building a Ziatora deck, kind of like the one that you have? What advice do you have for them?
This is what I always tell everyone. And it's like a Marie Kondo. Is that her name? Marie?
Yes, the
Kondo
Spark Joy
method. Yeah, if you look at the card and it sparks joy, put it in the deck. Like, it doesn't have to be perfect synergy, but if you're excited to play it, then go for it. That's like the best advice I can give. If I draw a card and I'm like, ugh, this card, take it out. You don't play that way. You want to have fun. You want to play cards that bring you joy. So that's the best way to build a deck.
That's perfect. Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. I think that if you're playing cards you enjoy, then you're going to enjoy the whole deck and the whole game probably. So
exactly.
Yeah. I love it. Well, thank you so much, Talia, for coming on and talking to me about your Ziatora deck for an hour. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it was so much fun. Yeah, so if anyone out there wants to find Talia, I'll have all of her links down in the episode description. But will you please give us like one last shout out to kind of what you've got going on and where people can find you?
Yeah. So you can find me streaming on Twitch. You can find me streaming and selling cards on Whatnot. If you do use my link in my bio, you will get a free $15 to spend in the app. So that's pretty cool. And you can also find me at Magic 30 throughout the entire year. So if you're going to be at any of the Magic 30 events, make sure to come find me. I'll be dressed up as Elspeth.
That's so exciting. That's awesome. I love it.
Yeah.
That also just reminded me that I still have $15 in my Whatnot from you, from the summit.
Oh, so
I'll have to go spend that.
It's a free $15 to spend on whatever. I mean, Whatnot is not just magic. Like, I buy clothes and shoes and hats and all kinds of stuff on there. It's a marketplace. So you'll find something. Yeah. Yes.
That's awesome. Cool. Well, yeah, thank you one last time for coming on and talking to me. I really enjoyed it.
Likewise. Oh, thank you for having me.
Of course. And yeah, if you want to find me, I'm Alec at the Fairy Conclave. I'll have my links below in the episode description too. I'm also pretty freshly a Dragon Shield affiliate, and we all know that Dragon Shield sleeves slay. So if you want some of those, go use my affiliate link.
They're the best.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And the custom sleeve maker is cool too. You can upload any image and have it be put on some sleeves for your extremely customized commander deck. So yeah, pretty cool. And besides all that, thank you so much for listening and joining us. And I hope to catch you next time.
Bye, y'all.